بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. نستأنف لقاء مفتوح مع شيخنا حفظه الله تعالى شيخ عبيد الجابري بالسؤال الحادي والستون. هذا سائل يقول: بعض الشباب لا يدخلون المسجد إلا بعد إقامة الصلاة، ثم يخرجون منه مباشرة بعد السلام بدعوى أن المسجد به بدع مثل الزخارف والسبحة. وعندما نواجه هؤلاء بكلام أهل العلم يقولون أن كلام العالم ليس بحجة، وهؤلاء الشباب يستدلون بقوله عز وجل: فإذا رأيت الذين يخوضون في آياتنا فأعرض عنهم. وما قام به ابن عمر عندما خرج من مسجد به بدعة، نرجو من فضيلتكم توضيح هذا الأمر، بارك الله فيكم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ولي الصالحين ورب الطيبين، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، سيد ولد آدم أجمعين، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الطيبين الطاهرين، وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، فإن هؤلاء الشباب أرادوا الخير، لكنهم حرموا أنفسهم خيرا كثيرا، حرموا أنفسهم من الأجر أعظم مما هربوا عنه من إنكار البدع الموجودة في المسجد. وأرجو أن تبلغوا هؤلاء الشباب سلامي، قولوا لهم: عبيد الجابري يقرأكم السلام. ولكم في الأمر مندوحة، إذا تذكرتم قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من رأى منكم منكرا فليغيره بيده، فإن لم يستطع فبلسانه، فإن لم يستطع فبقلبه، وذلك أضعف الإيمان. أخرجه مسلم في صحيحه من حديث أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه. فأنتم أيها الشباب لا تستطيعون التغيير لما ترونه من البدع في المسجد كما ذكرتم، لا باليد ولا باللسان. إذن لديكم بغض هذه البدع، وهذا من الإنكار بالقلب، ولا يلزمكم غيره. فلا تحرموا أنفسكم فضيلة التبكير إلى المسجد من أجل هذه الأمور، اعتزلوها وصلوا في ناحية من المسجد. وأما ما استدللتم به من الآية فإنها في الباطل من البدع المفسقة والمكفرة، وكذلك من لغو المشركين. وأما أثر ابن عمر فكان يخرج من المسجد إذا سمع القصاص: فاستعينوا بالله يا أبنائي، وبادروا إلى التبكير بالحضور للمسجد، واغتنموا هذه الفرصة بين الأذان والإقامة، استكثروا فيها من الدعاء، من قراءة القرآن، من الصلاة، فهذه خيرات كثيرة سارعوا إليها بارك الله فيكم.
Our brother began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and mentioning that we have another session sitting with our Sheikh, Sheikh Ubaid al-Jabri, hafidhullah, and we began with the first question. And the first question is that some brothers leave the masjid early. Some shabab, some brothers, they leave the, they do not enter the masjid except after when the prayer has been called, establishing the prayer. And then they leave straight away after the prayer, after the salam. And they claim that the masjid, that in this masjid that there is a, the masjid has been beautified, and there are these tasbih beads in the masjid, and that there are people there, and the people reject the speech of the people of knowledge, and the shabab they use as an evidence, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if you see those who delve into the delve into the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then turn away from him. And also they mentioned that Ibn Umar radhiyallahu anhu left the masjid because there was a bid'ah going on in the masjid. So can the Shaykh please clarify this for us? So our Shaykh Ubaid al-Jabri hafidhullah began by mentioning that he first he gave the salams. He said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Then he began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he said that the end is for the believers. We'll begin again after having some technical difficulties. We're just going to answer the question of the Shaykh again. Sorry for that disconnection. Okay. The Shaykh said, these shabab, these youth, they intended good, but they prohibited a lot of good for, a lot of great reward from themselves, for themselves, by keeping away or running away from this masjid, which they say that it has bidah in the masjid. The Shaykh said, first of all, I say that convey my salams to them, that tell them that Ubaid al-Jabri hafidhullah says Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to this shabab. And then the Shaykh said, the matter is that from what you have mentioned is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith which mentions whoever sees an evil, then they should change it with his hand. If he cannot do so, then he should change it with his tongue. And if he cannot do so, then he should change it with his heart. And this is the weakest of the iman. The Shaykh said, this hadith is narrated by Sahih Muslim, and it's the hadith narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiyallahu anhu. The Shaykh went on to say that it's not possible for you to change anything in this masjid, neither with your hand nor with your tongue. So you have to make inkar, you have to dislike it in your heart. And the Shaykh said, you should not prohibit the virtue of staying in the masjid from yourself. You should not lose out on this. And also, that what you make istidlal of, what you use as an evidence from the ayah, then this is not correct. This ayah is not correct. Rather, this ayah talks about those things which the bid'ah, which is mukaffara, yani which takes a person out of Islam, or mufassaqa, which makes a evil, something evil or sinful, or evil bid'ah, sorry, and regarding the mushrikeen. As for the author that you mentioned about Ibn Umar radhiyallahu anhu, and Ibn Umar radhiyallahu anhu left the masjid when he heard the storytellers telling stories, then he left the masjid. The Shaykh said, rather you should hurry and go early to the masjid. Go early to the masjid and take benefit from the time of staying in the masjid. For example, making dua in the masjid and other things. And between the adhan and the iqamah, yani making dua during that time. And you should try to get as much good as you can from being in the masjid.
شخص يفعل عن حكم زيارة البحر الميت للسياحة واستخدام منتجات هذا البحر في بعض المنتجات.
أظن أن سبب هذا السؤال هو ما يشاع وينقل أن البحر الميت بالأردن هو مكان هو مكان قرى قوم لوط، وقد جاء النهي عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الترفه في أماكن المعذبين، وأنه إذا مر بها المرء مر بها مسرعا، وكذلك أمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من مر بقرى المعذبين أن يبكي أو يتباكى، لكن ليس لدينا يقين على هذا، ليس لدينا يقين من صحة هذا الخبر. وبهذا فإن لا نمنع من زيارة البحر الميت للسياحة، كما لا نمنع من استخدام منتجاته. نعم.
The question was asked, what is the ruling regarding visiting the Dead Sea for tourism or just visiting, and using products use substances from the actual Dead Sea? Sheikh Hafizullah answered by saying, I think that the reason for this question is what is widespread amongst the people, was well known amongst the people, related to the people, that the Bahr al-Mayyit, the Dead Sea, which is in Jordan, is a place where the village of the people of the Prophet Lut alayhi salam was. And we know from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where he prohibited that a person should go to places where a nation has been destroyed, has been punished. And if he does go past that place, if he does pass there, then he should pass for it very, very quickly. And also a prohibition from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which is that if one passes through these places, then he should cry, or then he should at least pretend to cry. So the Shaykh said, but we do not have any yaqeen, there's no certainty that this was the actual place. So due to that, we have no, there's nothing to prevent somebody visiting this place for tourism, nor anything to prevent a person using products made from the materials or substances from the Dead Sea.
أحسن عليكم شيخنا. هذا السؤال 63 يقول: هل إبليس لعنه الله قبل أن يعصي الله كان مؤمنا ومصدقا أو العكس؟ بارك الله فيكم.
فيما وقفت عليه من الأخبار في تفسير ابن كثير عند قصة آدم الوالد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإبليس عليه لعنة الله من سورة البقرة، يذكر ابن كثير رحمه الله أن الله استخلف قبل آدم طائفة من الجن في الأرض فأفسدوا، فبعث إليهم الملائكة فطردتهم إلى الجزائر إلى البحار. وكان إبليس إذ ذاك أصلحهم فرفعه الله إلى الملائكة، فكان منه ما كان حين أمر الله الملائكة بالسجود لآدم، وكان ذلك السجود سجود تحية، وكان في شرع من قبلنا كما قص الله عن يوسف وأبويه وإخوتهم وإخوته عليهم الصلاة والسلام، وأن أنهم خروا له سجدا، فهذا السجود سجود تحية. فإبليس عصى، فالذي يبدو لي أنه كان عنده شيء من الإيمان، لكن كفر حين عصى الله عز وجل وامتنع من السجود الذي أمر الله به الملائكة لآدم صلى الله عليه وسلم. والله أعلم.
The question was that was Shaitan. The question was Shaitan before humans were created? May Allah's curse be upon him. That before he The Sheikh just amended the point here. He said that, you know, when we mention the word Iblis, we should also give the translation, which is devil. So the question is that, was Iblis, the devil, may Allah's curse be upon him, as I mentioned in the question, sorry, that before he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was he a believer? Was he a believer? So the Shaykh answered, as far as I have found, what I've researched from what has been mentioned from narrations, what has been mentioned in the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, is regarding the story of our father Adam alayhi salam and his encounter with Iblis, the devil, Shaitan, and that has been mentioned in the Surah Baqarah, Surah Al-Baqarah, in the second Surah of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appointed a group of jinn to be on the earth, and they spread corruption on the earth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent malaika, sent angels to them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took up the angels, and Iblis was amongst them, the devil was amongst them. And Allah ordered them to make sajda, to prostrate. And this prostration is a prostration of respect, this was in the legislation, in the Sharia, before our Sharia, before Islam. Like Yusuf alayhi salam and his father and his brothers, when they did sajda to him, they prostrated to him. And this is prostration, which is prostration of, which was a command at that time, and is done for respect. However, Iblis, the devil, he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they were ordered to make sajda to Adam alayhi salam, to make prostrate to Adam alayhi salam. The Shaykh says, what appears to me is that he had a small amount of iman. That Iblis had a small amount of iman at that time. However, he made kufr, he fell into disbelief, and he refused to make sajda to Adam alayhi salam, and Allah knows best.
أحسن عليكم شيخنا. هذا السؤال 64. يقول السائل: هل حلق شعر المولود يشمل الذكر والأنثى مع ذكر الدليل حفظكم الله تعالى؟
الذي يظهر لي والله أعلم أن الحلق خاص بالذكور، لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم في العقيقة: للجارية شهر، وعن الولد شاتان، تذبح يوم سابعه ويحلق ويسمى، والله أعلم. نعم.
The question was regarding the shaving of the newborn's head. Regarding the shaving the hair of the newborn's head. Does this include a boy and a girl baby? Shaving of the head of the newborn, does it include the boy and the girl? The Shaykh said, what appears to me regarding this is that shaving of the head is specific for the boy child, for the boy baby. Due to the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where the Prophet ﷺ said regarding the aqiqah, which is the food which is given for the newborn, that for a baby girl, you slaughter a sheep. And for the boy, you slaughter two sheep. And also, that after 7 days, that's done within 7 days, and then that child is also given a name. Allah knows best.
إذا رجل تزوج الزوجة الثانية أنا أعلم أنه يأخذ بيت آخر لها، لكن هل هذا البيت الآخر يكون كبيت مستقل، أو أنه يكون مثلا مثل شقة فيها غرفتين نوم أو ثلاث غرف نوم، يكون هذا بمعنى البيت الآخر؟
يا بنتي، كل امرأة سواء كانت الأولى أو الثانية أو الثالثة أو الرابعة لها على زوجها السكن المستقل الذي مفتاحه بيده ويد زوجها. وهذا البيت الشرعي والسكن المستقل حسب العرف وحسب حال الرجل من عسر أو يسر. فالحواضر أغلبهم بيوتهم شقق، ومن الناس من يستطيع أن يجعل بيتا مستقلا من دور أو دورين. والمقصود أنه أن الرجل لا يسكن زوجاته في بيت واحد إلا إذا رضينهن بذلك فلا بأس.
Questioner mentions, the sister mentions, if a man takes a second wife, she said she knows that she has to provide a house for each wife. It is not clear for me if it is, it has to be a separate house or just a separate room in the same apartment. Like. So the Shaykh answered, Hafidhullah, he answered, he said, oh my daughter, every single wife, whether it's the first wife, the second wife, the third wife, or the fourth wife, she has a right upon her husband to have her own apartment, her own living quarters, And this is a house, according, and this is according to the Sharia. And this is according to, and that house, which is according to Sharia, according to the customs of the people and the condition of the situation of the man. The Sheikh said that, for example, a man who lives in a city, then usually people live in cities, they usually live in apartments. And they are from those people who can provide a separate house completely, a completely separate house. The Sheikh said the intent here is anyway, is that he should not put both wives in one house. It's not permissible to put both wives in one house, except if they agree to it. Except if both wives agree to live in the same house and have separate rooms, then it's okay. But he should not put both wives in one house.
أحسن عليكم شيخنا. وهذا السؤال السادس والستون من بحر الكريم. يقول نرجو من فضيلتكم تقرير بعض شروط وضوابط الكتابة في المنتديات على الشبكة العالمية، لأننا نلاحظ أحيانا أجوبة من عامة الناس لبعض الأسئلة الشرعية على بعض في بعض المواقع.
يا بني، أنا لا أملك إلا نفسي ولا أستطيع أن أحكم على غيري أو أن أرى له قانونا ومنهجا يسير عليه حال تقريره المسائل الشرعية. لكن وصيتي لكم أن تنظروا إلى هذا الذي يقرر المسائل الشرعية، فإن كان يقول لكم قال الله وقال رسوله وقال الصحابة قال التابعون الفضلاء مثل سعيد بن جبير ومجاهد بن جبر وأبي العالية، فكلامه مقبول إن شاء الله تعالى. وإن أحببتم أن تستغنوا بمن تعرفون فتقبلون قولهم ولا تجاوزوا غيرهم فلعل هذا أفضل والله أعلم.
A questioner from the Caribbean islands mentions, Sheikh, can you give us some principles and some points regarding what people write on the internet? Because there are many people who write general things and specific things, and we need to know some principles of being able to write and spread things on the internet. So the Sheikh in answer says, Oh my son, I do not have control except over myself, and I cannot prohibit anybody else from writing on the internet, nor can I lay down some rules and regulations and principles for people to write on the internet. But what I can say and give advice for those who listen is that look at the one who writes what you read. Look at the one who is writing these general points. If the person who's writing these general points is mentioning the statement of Allah, or the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, or the saying of the Sahaba, or the saying of the Tabi'een, like the likes of Sayyid ibn Jubayr and Abu al-Ali, and likewise, if he mentions those, then this is acceptable. Then we should take from him. And rather, the Shaykh said that you should try to limit yourself to those, or you should keep to those whom you know, and do not go beyond them, and that will be better for you.
هذا السؤال السابع وستون شيخ نعم السابع وستون هي تقول أنها تريد أن تنصح زوجها وتحثه على أعمال الخير
بالطريقة
يعني لا يشعر فيها أن هي أن هذا النصيحة يعني أن هي تحتقره أو أن هي مثلا تنقص من مكانته هذا أول سؤال
وفقك الله يا بنتي ما صنعته مع زوجك من النصيحة بالأسلوب الجيد الذي لا يظهر ترفعك عليه واحتقارك له هذا نؤيدك عليه ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يعظم لك المثوبة وأن يهيئ لزوجك الرشد من أمره أقول انصحيه بطريقة جيدة بأسلوب جميل لا يشعر أنك تترفعين عليه وتنقصين قدر
The questioner mentioned as a sister, she mentions, what is the best way to advise our husband and encourage them upon goodness without belittling him? The Shaykh answered, first of all, and by saying that may Allah grant you success, O sister, and my daughter, and everything like this. Then the Shaykh went on to say, I think the best way is for you to advise him in a good way and a beautiful, using beautiful manners or a beautiful way, so that he does not feel that you are belittling him.
وهذا السؤال الثامن والستون تقول لو أن بيني وبين زوجي مشاكل وأنا آخذ بآراء أو نصيحة بعض الأخوات عندما أعرض عليها مشاكل مع زوجي. هل يعد هذا من الغيبة كتاب زوجي؟
كونك تعرضين ما بينك وبين زوجك من خلافات ومشاكل على امرأة موثوقة عاقلة تحسن النصيحة بما لديها من خبرة طويلة في حل المشاكل التي تحصل بين الرجال وأزواجهم لا بأس به إن شاء الله وليس ذلك من الغيبة في شيء.
Question mentions if you have difficulties with our husbands, can we speak to other sisters for advice on how this can be achieved without backbiting? So the Sheikh said, the point of view presenting this to what happens between you and your husband, the problems and the differences. And you present this to a sister who is intelligent, who is is trusted and well known, and that sister that she has experience in dealing with issues, problems and issues which occur between a husband and wife. The Sheikh said, "Labas, there's no problem with this, and there's nothing wrong with doing this. This is not regarded as backbiting."
السلام عليكم شيخنا وهذا السؤال التاسع والستون تقول سائلة هل يجوز طرد الطفل بسبب غير الصلاة وهل يجوز إيقاف الرضاعة عن الطفل قبل وصوله إلى سنتين لأنه أصبح متعلقا بشدة بصدر أمه والسؤال الثالث في نفس السؤال هذا الأخ تقول إنها تحاول جهدها لكي ترغب أطفالها في أعمال الخير والعبادة والتعلم ولكن أبنائها أخلاقهم سيئة جدا فما هي أفضل طريقة تعامل معهم
أولا لا مانع من تأديب الطفل بضرب خفيف يناسب صحته ويناسب سنه، فلا يعامل المميز الذي عمره 7 سنوات، فلا يعامل من عمره 2 أو 3 سنوات كما يعامل المميز الذي عمره 7 سنوات أو أكثر من ذلك، هذا خطأ، ولكن تأديب خفيف. ثانيا، الأصل إكمال السنتين في الرباعة، هذا هو الأصل، لقوله تعالى: والوالدات يرضعن أولادهن حولين كاملين لمن أراد أن يتم الرضاعة. فقوله لمن أراد أن يتم الرضاعة، هذا تنبيه إلى أن الأم تنظر هل لو فطمت طفلها قبل 2 سنين يتضرر أو لا. فإن كان يتضرر وهي قادرة على إرضائه أكملت له 2، وإن كان لا يتضرر وترى أنه يمكن استغناؤه لأنه يتغذى بغير الثدي فلا مانع من ذلك إن شاء الله تعالى. ثالثا، أنت تقولين تريدين أن تعلمي أطفالك طرق الخير، ابدأي بالصلاة يا بنتي كما بدأ النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: مروا أبناءكم بالصلاة 7 واضربوهم عليها 10 وفرقوا بينهم في المضاجع. عودي المميزين الذين بلغوا 7 سنين من الأولاد والبنات على الصلاة، تأمرينهم ولكن لا تضربيهم، تحضينهم، تذكرين الأجر، تقرئينهم القرآن، تعلمينهم مبادئ التوحيد بالسياسة ولا تعجلي. فمن بلغ 10 منهم، بلغ 10 سنين ورأيته يتكاسل فالضرب الخفيف، وإذا كان يتفطن بالكلام فلا داعي للضرب، عليك بالسياسة الحسنة يا بنتي ولا تعجلي. نعم.
There were 3 questions which were mentioned here. The first question was regarding hitting a child. Can you hit a child for adhan, the prayer? And the second question which was mentioned regarding breastfeeding, that can you stop breastfeeding a child before he reaches the age of 2, before completing 2 years? You have to breastfeed the child for at least 2 years? And the third question was regarding can you hit, what is the best way to bring up children, giving them the tarbiyah and things like this. So the Sheikh went on to answer these questions. As for the first one, are you allowed to hit a child for other than the prayer? The Sheikh said, there's no problem about hitting a child lightly to put them straight or to put them teach them manners. There's nothing wrong with lightly hitting them. The Sheikh says also that you do not deal with someone who's a 7-year-old like you deal with someone who's a 2-year-old. You do not deal with them in the same way. So for example, a 7-year-old or somebody's older than that, then you try to talk to them and then you try to, use wisdom in dealing with them. So, you know, in that case. But the Sheikh said, but there's nothing wrong with doing a light punishment to teach them. The second question was regarding the breastfeeding, and do you have to complete 2 years of the breastfeeding for the child? The Sheikh said the asal foundation of this, that you should complete 2 years. You should complete 2 years. The question also mentioned that the child becomes attached to the breast. So the Sheikh said that the asal of this is that you should complete 2 years due to the ayah in the Quran. The rough translation is that the mother, when she feeds the child, she should do so for 2 years for the one who intends to continue the breastfeeding, yani to feed the child. The Sheikh said here, the meaning is that if they intend to continue. So the Sheikh said, if that they should do complete 2 years if they can, and if they can't, then the child is able to eat or be nourished from food other than the breast, then there's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with this. This is the choice. The third question was regarding what is the best way to educate children and to bring them up. The Sheikh said, the best way is to use the paths of goodness. And you should begin with the salah, begin with the prayer. Just like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, that teach your when the child reaches a 7-year-old, 7 years of age, then teach him about the prayer, or start them off with the prayer. And when they reach by the age of 10, then you can hit them on this, or lightly beat them, punish them on this, you know, that to be praying. So the Shaykh said, if someone is of 7 years of old, then you do not hit them. You do not hit them to for the prayer. But rather you should try to encourage them, and you should try to give them rewards, and read Qur'an upon them, and get them to read Qur'an, and teach them Tawheed. And you should not be hasty in this. We should take it easy. And when they are 10 years old, then you should, as regards to prayer, then you should tell them to pray. And if they are lazy in their prayers, then you are allowed to hit them lightly, you know, to punish them lightly, to pray the prayer, just as we mentioned in the hadith. And then the Shaykh went on to say that the person should use wisdom in dealing with these type of things. Then he should use a good politics when you're dealing with somebody in educating your children.
نختم بهذا السؤال 70. هي سائلة من الجزائر تقول: ما عدة المرأة المتوفى عنها زوجها والتي يأست من المحيض، وما هي الضرورة التي تخرج من أجلها؟
يا بنتي، عدة المتوفى عنها زوجها 4 أشهر و10، سواء كانت يائسة أو غير يائسة، أو غير يائسة، 4 أشهر و10 بالشهر العربي القمري، إلا إذا كانت حاملة حال الوفاة، فإن عدتها تنتهي بوضع الحمل، سواء كانت وضعت الحمل بعد يوم أو بعد أشهر. وأما سؤالك عن الضرورة، أقول كالعلاج أو زيارة والدها المريض الذي يحتاج إليها، أو أمور تحتاجها من الأماكن القريبة ولا يمكن أن يحضرها غيرها، فلا بأس بذلك إن شاء الله تعالى. نعم.
A questioner from Algeria mentions, what is the amount of time that a woman spends after being divorced before she can get married again? And what if she is pregnant? What is the ruling? And also, what is the ruling regarding her going out of the house for her needs? The Sheikh answered, my daughter, the time period that you spend from after being divorced is 4 months and 10 days. 4 months and 10 days. And this is according to the Hijri calendar. Yeah, not to the Christian calendar, but the Hijri calendar. And the Sheikh said, except for the one who is pregnant, the woman that is pregnant, her iddah, her period, waiting period, hence when she delivers, whether it's one day after or it's a few months later. Her waiting period after the divorce ends with her delivering the child. The Shaykh said, as regards the necessity of going out, and what necessitates a necessity is that if she has a need for treatment for an illness, or to visit a sick father, or matters that she needs to attend to, for example, going out for her needs, if they're close by and nobody else can actually bring solve it for her, then she can go out, and there's nothing wrong with that.
وبهذا نختم هذا اللقاء. على أمل لقاءنا إن شاء الله قريبا مع فضيلة الشيخ عبيد الجابري، وتجمع هذه الأسئلة إن شاء الله ونطرحها لاحقا فيما بعد بإذن الله تعالى على شيخنا. وجزاكم الله خيرا وبارك الله فيكم، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Your brother mentions that with me. And yes, the brother ends this sitting, and he mentions that inshallah we'll have another chance to have a gathering with our Sheikh, Sheikh Ubaid al-Jabri, hafadhu Allah ta'ala. And if you could please send your questions to the well-known email address. And we thank you, and may Allah reward you for attending. And Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Prophet and his family and his companions and all those who follow his way.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. نستأنف لقاء مفتوح مع شيخنا حفظه الله تعالى شيخ عبيد الجابري بالسؤال الحادي والستون. هذا سائل يقول: بعض الشباب لا يدخلون المسجد إلا بعد إقامة الصلاة، ثم يخرجون منه مباشرة بعد السلام بدعوى أن المسجد به بدع مثل الزخارف والسبحة. وعندما نواجه هؤلاء بكلام أهل العلم يقولون أن كلام العالم ليس بحجة، وهؤلاء الشباب يستدلون بقوله عز وجل: فإذا رأيت الذين يخوضون في آياتنا فأعرض عنهم. وما قام به ابن عمر عندما خرج من مسجد به بدعة، نرجو من فضيلتكم توضيح هذا الأمر بارك الله فيكم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ولي الصالحين ورب الطيبين، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، سيد ولد آدم أجمعين، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الطيبين الطاهرين، وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، فإن هؤلاء الشباب أرادوا الخير، لكنهم حرموا أنفسهم خيرا كثيرا، حرموا أنفسهم من الأجر أعظم مما هربوا عنه من إنكار البدع الموجودة في المسجد. وأرجو أن تبلغوا هؤلاء الشباب سلامي، قولوا لهم: عبيد الجابري يقرأكم السلام. ولكم في الأمر مندوحة، إذا تذكرتم قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من رأى منكم منكرا فليغيره بيده، فإن لم يستطع فبلسانه، فإن لم يستطع فبقلبه، وذلك أضعف الإيمان. أخرجه مسلم في صحيحه من حديث أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه. فأنتم أيها الشباب لا تستطيعون التغيير لما ترونه من البدع في المسجد كما ذكرتم، لا باليد ولا باللسان. إذن لديكم بغض هذه البدع، وهذا من الإنكار بالقلب، ولا يلزمكم غيره. فلا تحرموا أنفسكم فضيلة التبكير إلى المسجد من أجل هذه الأمور، اعتزلوها وصلوا في ناحية من المسجد. وأما ما استدللتم به من الآية فإنها في الباطل من البدع المفسقة والمكفرة وكذلك من لغو المشركين. وأما أثر ابن عمر فكان يخرج من المسجد إذا سمع القصاص، فاستعينوا بالله يا أبنائي وبادروا إلى التبكير بالحضور للمسجد، واغتنموا هذه الفرصة بين الأذان والإقامة، استكثروا فيها من الدعاء، من قراءة القرآن، من الصلاة، فهذه خيرات كثيرة سارعوا إليها بارك الله فيكم.
Our brother began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and mentioning that we have another session sitting with our Sheikh, Sheikh Ubayd al-Jabri, hafidhullah, and we began with the first question. And the first question is that some brothers leave the masjid early. Some shabab, some brothers, they leave the, they do not enter the masjid except after when the prayer has been called, establishing the prayer. And then they leave straight away after the prayer, after the salam. And they claim that the masjid, that in this masjid that there is the masjid has been beautified, and there are these tasbih beads in the masjid, and that there are people there, and the people reject the speech of the people of knowledge, and the shabab they use as an evidence the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if you see those who delve into the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then turn away from him. And also they mentioned that Ibn Umar radhiyallahu left the masjid because there was a bid'ah going on in the masjid. So can the Shaykh please clarify this for us? So our Shaykh Ubayd al-Jabri hafidhullah began by mentioning that he gave the salams. He said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Then he began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he said that the end is for the believers. We'll begin again after having some technical difficulties. We're just going to answer the question of the Shaykh again. Sorry for that disconnection. Okay. The Shaykh said, these shabab, these youth, they intended good, but they prohibited a lot of good, a lot of great reward from themselves, for themselves, by keeping away or running away from this masjid, which they say that it has bidah in the masjid. The Shaykh said, first of all, I say that convey my salams to them, that tell them that Ubayd al-Jabri hafidhullah says Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to this shabab. And then the Shaykh said, the matter is that from what you have mentioned is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith which mentions whoever sees an evil, then they should change it with his hand. If he cannot do so, then he should change it with his tongue. And if he cannot do so, then he should change it with his heart. And this is the weakest of iman. The Shaykh said, this hadith is narrated by Sahih Muslim, and it's the hadith narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiyallahu anhu. The Shaykh went on to say that it's not possible for you to change anything in this masjid, neither with your hand nor with your tongue. So you have to make inkar, you have to dislike it in your heart. And the Shaykh said, you should not prohibit the virtue of staying in the masjid from yourself. You should not lose out on this. And also, that what you make istidlal of, what you use as an evidence from the ayah, then this is not correct. This ayah is not correct. Rather, this ayah talks about those things which the bid'ah, which is mukaffara, yani which takes a person out of Islam, or mufassaqa, which makes a evil, something evil or sinful, or evil bid'ah, sorry, and regarding the mushrikeen. As for the author that you mentioned about Ibn Umar radhiyallahu anhu, and Ibn Umar radhiyallahu anhu left the masjid when he heard the storytellers telling stories, then he left the masjid. The Shaykh said, rather you should hurry and go early to the masjid. Go early to the masjid and take benefit from the time of staying in the masjid. For example, making dua in the masjid and other things. And between the adhan and the iqama, yani making dua during that time. And you should try to get as much good as you can from being in the masjid.
شخص يسأل عن حكم زيارة البحر الميت للسياحة واستخدام منتجات هذا البحر في بعض المنتجات.
أظن أن سبب هذا السؤال هو ما يشاع وينقل أن البحر الميت بالأردن هو مكان هو مكان قرى قوم لوط، وقد جاء النهي عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الترفث في أماكن المعذبين، وأنه إذا مر بها المرء مر بها مسرعا، وكذلك أمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من مر بقرى المعذبين أن يبكي أو يتباكى، لكن ليس لدينا يقين على هذا، ليس لدينا يقين من صحة هذا الخبر. وبهذا فإن لا نمنع من زيارة البحر الميت للسياحة، كما لا نمنع من استخدام منتجاته. نعم.
The question was asked, what is the ruling regarding visiting the Dead Sea for tourism or just visiting and using products which use substances from the actual Dead Sea? Sheikh Hafizullah answered by saying, I think that the reason for this question is what is widespread amongst the people, was well known amongst the people, or related to the people, that the Bahr al-Mayyit, the Dead Sea, which is in Jordan, is a place where the village of the people of the Prophet Lut alayhi salam was. And we know from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where he prohibited that a person should go to places where a group or a nation has been destroyed, has been punished. And if he does go past that place, if he does pass there, then he should pass for it very, very quickly. And also a prohibition from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which is that if one passes through these places, then he should cry, or then he should at least pretend to cry. So the Shaykh said, but we do not have any yaqeen, there's no certainty that this was the actual place. So due to that, we have no, there's nothing to prevent somebody visiting this place for tourism, nor anything to prevent a person using products made from the materials or substances from the Dead Sea.
أحسن عليكم شيخنا، هذا السؤال 63. يقول: هل إبليس لعنه الله قبل أن يعصي الله كان مؤمنا ومصدقا أو العكس بارك الله فيكم؟
فيما وقفت عليه من الأخبار في تفسير ابن كثير عند قصة آدم الوالد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإبليس عليه لعنة الله من سورة البقرة، يذكر ابن كثير رحمه الله أن الله استخلف قبل آدم طائفة من الجن في الأرض فأفسدوا، فبعث إليهم الملائكة فطردتهم إلى الجزائر إلى البحار، وكان إبليس إذ ذاك أصلحهم فرفعه الله إلى الملائكة، فكان منه ما كان حين أمر الله الملائكة بالسجود لآدم، وكان ذلك السجود سجود تحية، وكان في شرع من قبلنا كما قص الله عن يوسف وأبويه وإخوتهم وإخوته عليهم الصلاة والسلام، وأن أنهم خروا له سجدا، فهذا السجود سجود تحية. فإبليس عصى. فالذي يبدو لي أنه كان عنده شيء من الإيمان، لكن كفر حين عصى الله عز وجل وامتنع من السجود الذي أمر الله به الملائكة لآدم صلى الله عليه وسلم. والله أعلم.
The question was that was Shaitan. The question was Shaitan before humans were created? May Allah's curse be upon him. That before he, sorry, before he, the Sheikh just amended the point here. He said that, you know, when we mention the word Iblis, which I also give the translation, which is devil. So the question is that, was Iblis, the devil, may Allah's curse be upon him, as I mentioned in the question, sorry, that before he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was he a believer? Was he a believer? So the Shaykh answered, Zallah Khair, as far as I have found, what I've researched from what has been mentioned from narrations, what has been mentioned in the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, is regarding the story of our father Adam alayhi salam and his encounter with Iblis, the devil, Shaitan, and that has been mentioned in the Surah Al-Baqarah, in the second surah of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appointed a group of jinn to be on the earth, and they spread corruption on the earth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent malaika, sent angels to them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took up the angels, and Iblis was amongst them, the devil was amongst them. And Allah ordered them to make sajda, to prostrate. And this prostration is a prostration of respect, And this was in the legislation, in the Sharia, before our Sharia, before Islam. Like Yusuf alayhi salam and his father and his brothers, when they did sajda to him, they prostrated to him. And this is prostration, which is prostration of which was a command at that time, and is done for respect. However, Iblis, the devil, he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they were ordered to make sajda to Adam alayhi salam, to make prostrate to Adam alayhi salam. The Sheikh says, what appears to me is that he had a small amount of iman. That Iblis had a small amount of iman at that time. However, he made kufr. He fell into disbelief, and he refused to make sajda to Adam alayhi salam. And Allah knows best.
أحسن لكم شيخنا. هذا السؤال 64. يقول السائل: هل حلق شعر المولود يشمل الذكر والأنثى مع ذكر الدليل حفظكم الله تعالى؟
الذي يظهر لي والله أعلم أن الحلق خاص بالذكور، لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم في العقيقة: للجارية شهر، وعن الولد شاتان، تذبح يوم سابعه ويحلق ويسمى. والله أعلم. نعم.
The question was regarding the shaving of the newborn's head. Regarding the shaving the hair of the newborn's head. Does this include a boy and a girl baby? Shaving of the head of the newborn, does it include the boy and the girl? The Sheikh said, what appears to me regarding this is that shaving of the head is specific for the boy child, for the boy baby. Due to the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where the Prophet ﷺ said regarding the aqiqah, which is the food which is given for the newborn, that for a baby girl, you slaughter a sheep. And for the boy, you slaughter two sheep. And also, that after 7 days, that's done within 7 days, and then that child is also given a name. Allah knows best.
هذا سؤال 65. تقول السائلة إذا رجل تزوج الزوجة الثانية أنا أعلم أنه يأخذ بيت آخر لها، لكن هل هذا البيت الآخر يكون كبيت مستقل أو أنه يكون مثلا مثل شقة فيها غرفتين نوم أو ثلاث غرف نوم، يكون هذا بمعنى البيت الآخر؟
يا بنتي، كل امرأة سواء كانت الأولى أو الثانية أو الثالثة أو الرابعة لها على زوجها السكن المستقل الذي مفتاحه بيده ويد زوجها، وهذا البيت الشرعي والسكن المستقل حسب العرف وحسب حال الرجل من عسر أو يسر. فالحواضر أغلبهم بيوتهم شقق، ومن الناس من يستطيع أن يجعل بيتا مستقلا من دور أو دورين، والمقصود أنه أن الرجل لا يسكن زوجاته في بيت واحد إلا إذا رضينهن بذلك فلا بأس.
Questioner mentioned, the sister mentioned, if a man takes a second wife, she said she knows that she has to provide a house for each wife. It is not clear for me if it is, it has to be a separate house or just a separate room in the same apartment. Like, so the Shaykh answered, Hafidhullah, he answered, he said, oh my daughter, every single wife, whether it's the first wife, the second wife, the third wife, or the fourth wife, she has a right upon her husband to have her own apartment, her own living quarters, her own living quarters. And this is a house, according to the Sharia. And this is according to, and that house, which is according to Sharia, according to the customs of the people and the condition of the situation of the man. The Sheikh said that, for example, a man who lives in a city, then usually people live in cities, they usually live in apartments. And they are from those people who can provide a separate house, completely separate house. The Sheikh said the intent here is anyway, is that he should not put both wives in one house. It's not permissible to put both wives in one house, except if they agree to it. Except if both wives agree to live in the same house and have separate rooms, then it's okay. But he should not put both wives in one house.
أحسن عليكم شيخنا. وهذا السؤال 66 من بحر الكريم، يقول نرجو من فضيلتكم تقرير بعض شروط وضوابط الكتابة في المنتديات على الشبكة العالمية، لأننا نلاحظ أحيانا أجوبة من عامة الناس لبعض الأسئلة الشرعية على بعض في بعض المواقع.
يا بني، أنا لا أملك إلا نفسي ولا أستطيع أن أحكم على غيري أو أن أرى له قانونا ومنهجا يسير عليه حال تقريره المسائل الشرعية، لكن وصيتي لكم أن تنظروا إلى هذا الذي يقرر المسائل الشرعية، فإن كان يقول لكم قال الله وقال رسوله وقال الصحابة قال التابعون الفضلاء مثل سعيد بن جبير ومجاهد بن جبر وأبي العالية، فكلامه مقبول إن شاء الله تعالى. وإن أحببتم أن تستغنوا بمن تعرفون فتقبلون قولهم ولا تجاوزوا غيرهم فلعل هذا أفضل، والله أعلم.
a questioner from the Caribbean islands mentions, Sheikh, can you give us some principles and some points regarding what people write on the internet? Because there are many people who write general things and specific things, and we need to know some principles of being able to write and spread things on the internet. So the Sheikh in answer says, Oh my son, I do not have control except over myself, and I cannot prohibit anybody else from writing on the internet, nor can I lay down some rules and regulations and principles for people to write on the internet. But what I can say and give advice for those who listen is that look at the one who writes what you read. Look at the one who is writing these general points. If the person who's writing these general points is mentioning the statement of Allah, or the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, or the saying of the Sahaba, or the saying of the Tabi'een, like the likes of Sayyid ibn Jubayr and Abu al-Ali, and likewise, if he mentions those, then this is acceptable. Then we should take from him. And rather, the Shaykh said that you should try to limit yourself to those, or you should keep to those whom you know, and do not go beyond them, and that will be better for you.
هذا السؤال السابع وستون شيخ نعم السابع وستون هي تقول أنها تريد أن تنصح زوجها وتحثه على أعمال الخير
بالطريقة
يعني لا يشعر فيها أن هي أن هذا نصيحة يعني أن هي تحتقره أو أن هي مثلا تنقص من مكانته هذا أول سؤال
وفقك الله يا بنتي ما صنعته مع زوجك من النصيحة بالأسلوب الجيد الذي لا يظهر ترفعك عليه واحتقارك له هذا نؤيدك عليه ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يعظم لك المثوبة وأن يهيئ لزوجك الرشد من أمره أقول انصحيه بطريقة جيدة بأسلوب جميل لا يشعر أنك تترفعين عليه وتنقصين قدر
The questioner mentions as a sister, she mentions, what is the best way to advise her husband and encourage them upon goodness without belittling them? The Sheikh answered, first of all, and by saying that may Allah grant you success, O sister and my daughter and everything like this. Then the Sheikh went on to say, I think the best way is for you to advise him in a good way and a beautiful, using beautiful manners or a beautiful way so that he does not feel that you are belittling him.
وهذا السؤال الثامن والستون تقول لو أن بيني وبين زوجي مشاكل وأنا آخذ بآراء ونصيحة بعض الأخوات عندما أعرض عليها مشاكل مع زوجي هل يعد هذا من الغيبة من أسباب زوجي؟
كونك تعرضين ما بينك وبين زوجك من خلافات ومشاكل على امرأة موثوقة عاقلة تحسن النصيحة بما لديها من خبرة طويلة في حل المشاكل التي تحصل بين الرجال وأزواجهم لا بأس به إن شاء الله وليس ذلك من الغيبة في شيء
question I mentioned if you have difficulties with our husbands can we speak to other sisters for advice on how this can be achieved without backbiting so the sheikh said the point of you presenting this to what happens between you and your husband the problems and the differences and you present this to a sister who is intelligent who is well is trusted and well known and that sister that she has an experience in dealing with issues problems and issues which occur between a husband and wife the sheikh said la ba's there's no problem with this and there's nothing wrong with doing this this is not regarded as backbiting
السلام عليكم شيخنا وهذا السؤال التاسع والستون تقول سائلة هل يجوز طرد الطفل بسبب غير الصلاة؟ وهل يجوز إيقاف الرضاعة عن الطفل قبل وصوله إلى سنتين لأنه أصبح متعلقا بشدة بصدر أمه؟ والسؤال الثالث يعني في نفس السؤال، هذه الأخ تقول إنها تحاول جهدها لكي ترغب أطفالها في أعمال الخير والعبادة والتعلم، ولكن أبنائها أخلاقهم سيئة جدا، فما هي أفضل طريقة تعامل معهم؟
أولا، لا مانع من تأديب الطفل بضرب خفيف يناسب صحته ويناسب سنه، فلا يعامل المميز الذي عمره 7 سنوات، فلا يعامل من عمره 2 أو 3 سنوات كما يعامل المميز الذي عمره 7 سنوات أو أكثر من ذلك، هذا خطأ، ولكن تأديب خفيف. ثانيا، الأصل إكمال 2 سنين في الرضاعة، هذا هو الأصل، لقوله تعالى والوالدات يرضعن أولادهن 2 حولين كاملين لمن أراد أن يتم الرضاعة. فقوله لمن أراد أن يتم الرضاعة هذا تنبيه إلى أن الأم تنظر هل لو فطمت طفلها قبل 2 سنين يتضرر أو لا، فإن كان يتضرر وهي قادرة على إرضائه أكملت له 2 سنين، وإن كان لا يتضرر وترى أنه يمكن استغناؤه لأنه يتغذى بغير الثدي فلا مانع من ذلك إن شاء الله تعالى. ثالثا، أنت تقولين تريدين أن تعلمي أطفالك طرق الخير، ابدأي بالصلاة يا بنتي كما بدأ النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، مروا أبناءكم بالصلاة 7 واضربوهم عليها 10 وفرقوا بينهم في المضاجع. عودي المميزين الذين بلغوا 7 سنين من الأولاد والبنات على الصلاة، تأمرينهم ولكن لا تضربيهم، تحضينهم، تذكرين الأجر، تقرئينهم القرآن، تعلمينهم مبادئ التوحيد بالسياسة، ولا تعجلي. فمن بلغ 10 منهم، بلغ 10 سنين ورأيته يتكاسل فالضرب الخفيف، وإذا كان يتفطن بالكلام فلا داعي للضرب، عليك بالسياسة الحسنة يا بنتي ولا تعجلي. نعم.
There were 3 questions which were mentioned here. The first question was regarding hitting a child. Can you hit a child for oven the prayer? And the second question which was mentioned regarding breastfeeding, that can you stop breastfeeding a child before he reaches the age of 2, before completing 2 years? You have to breastfeed the child for at least 2 years. And the third question was regarding can you hit what is the best way to bring up children? Giving them the tarbiyah and things like this. So the Sheikh went on to answer these questions. As for the first one, are you allowed to hit a child for other than the prayer? The Sheikh said, there's no problem but hitting a child lightly to put them straight or to put them teach them manners. There's nothing wrong with lightly hitting them. The Sheikh says also that you do not deal with someone who's a 7-year-old like you deal with someone who's a 2-year-old. You do not deal with them in the same way. So for example, a 7-year-old or somebody's older than that, then you try to talk to them and then you try to, you know, use wisdom in dealing with them. So, you know, in that case. But the Sheikh said, but there's nothing wrong with doing a light punishment to teach them. The second question was regarding the breastfeeding, and do you have to complete 2 years of the breastfeeding for the child? The Sheikh said the asal foundation of this, that you should complete 2 years. You should complete 2 years. The question, sorry, also mentioned that the child becomes attached to the breast. So the Sheikh said that the asal of this is that you should complete 2 years. Due to the ayah in the Quran, which the rough translation is that the mother, when she feeds the child, she should do so for 2 years for the one who intends to continue the breastfeeding, yani to feed the child. The Sheikh said here, the meaning is that if they intend to continue. So the Sheikh said if that they should do complete 2 years, if they can, and if they can't, then the child is able to eat or be nourished from food other than the breast, then there's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with this. This is the choice. The third question was regarding what is the best way to educate children and to bring them up. The Sheikh said, the best way is to use the paths of goodness. And you should begin with the salah, begin with the prayer. Just like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, that teach your when the child reaches a 7-year-old, 7 years of age, then teach him about the prayer, or start them off with a prayer. And when they reach by the age of 10, then you can hit them on this, or lightly beat them, punish them on this, you know, that to be praying. So the Sheikh said, if someone is of 7 years of old, then you do not hit them. You do not hit them to for the prayer. But rather you should try to encourage them, and you should try to give them rewards, and read Qur'an upon them, and get them to read Qur'an, and teach them Tawheed. And you should not be hasty in this. We should take it easy. And when they are 10 years old, then you should, as regards to prayer, then you should tell them to pray. And if they are lazy in their praise, then you are allowed to hit them lightly, you know, to punish them lightly, to pray the prayer, just as we mentioned in the hadith. And then the Sheikh went on to say that the person should use wisdom in dealing with these type of things. Then he should use a good politics when you're dealing with somebody in educating your children.
هي سائلة من الجزائر تقول ما عدة المرأة المتوفى عنها زوجها والتي يئست من المحيض وما هي الضرورة التي تخرج من أجلها؟
يا بنتي عدة المتوفى عنها زوجها 4 أشهر و10 سواء كانت يائسة أو غير يائسة 4 أشهر و10 بالشهر العربي القمري، إلا إذا كانت حاملة حال الوفاة فإن عدتها تنتهي بوضع الحمل، سواء كانت وضعت الحمل بعد يوم أو بعد أشهر. وأما سؤالك عن الضرورة، أقول كالعلاج أو زيارة والدها المريض الذي يحتاج إليها، أو أمور تحتاجها من الأماكن القريبة ولا يمكن أن يحضرها غيرها، فلا بأس بذلك إن شاء الله تعالى. نعم.
A questioner from Algeria mentions, what is the amount of time that a woman spends after being divorced before she can get married again? And what if she is pregnant? What is the ruling? And also, what is the ruling regarding her going out of the house for her needs? The Sheikh answered, my daughter, the time period that you spend from after being divorced is 4 months and 10 days. 4 months and 10 days. And this is according to the Hijri calendar. Yeah, not to the Christian calendar, but the Hijri calendar. And the Sheikh said, except for the one who is pregnant, woman that is pregnant, her iddah, her period, waiting period, hence when she delivers, whether it's one day after or it's a few months later. Her waiting period after the divorce ends with her delivering the child. The Shaykh said, as regards the necessity of going out and what necessitates a necessity, is that if she had a need for treatment for an illness, or to visit a sick father, or matters that she needs to attend to, for example, going out for her needs, if they're close by and nobody else can actually solve it for her, then she can go out, and there's nothing wrong with that.
وبهذا نختم هذا اللقاء على أمل لقاءنا إن شاء الله قريبا مع فضيلة الشيخ عبيد الجابري وتجمع هذه الأسئلة إن شاء الله ونطرحها لاحقا فيما بعد بإذن الله تعالى على شيخنا وجزاكم الله خيرا وبارك الله فيكم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Your brother mentions that with me. And yes, the brother ends this sitting, and he mentions that inshallah we'll have another chance to have a gathering with our Shaykh, Shaykh Ubayd al-Jabri, hafadhullah ta'ala. And if you could please send your questions to the well-known email address. And we thank you, and may Allah reward you for attending. And Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Prophet and his family and his companions and all those who follow his way.